Talk Radio.
Renegade Talk Radio.
Welcome back, Renegade Nation. This is Up Close. I'm Chris Tinney, your host, and today we're going to have John Kemp from the Humane League with us. It's going to be a good half hour of talk. You're going to learn how you can have a real impact in the world with the way you spend your dollars, with the way you choose to live your life. You're going to hear about what the Humane League's doing and how you can get involved. Thank you for joining us today. We're here with John Kemp, as I mentioned, and thank you for joining us, folks. Just to take care of a little bit of housekeeping before we get started, if you're listening at ChrisTinney.com, that's T-I-N-N-E-Y, ChrisTinney.com, you can check out the links to listen to us on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, anywhere else that you happen to, whatever your favorite podcast app is, you can listen to Up Close. So make sure you plug into that and subscribe. We always appreciate you, especially on iTunes. They pay a lot of attention to who leaves those comments there at the bottom. I appreciate the half a dozen people that left comments after our last show with Bruce Perlewin, the CEO of Hemp Inc. Today, I'm really excited. Those of you that have been following me over the past two decades while I've been on and off the air and involved in a lot of campaigns to help animals, that you might remember the show that we did when I was on another network with John Kemp. He was at Vegan Outreach at the time, organization that's how I met him actually years and years ago. I don't think he remembers me, but I was calling in, getting brochures, doing some leafleting, and trying to make an impact in my community. And I was real excited about what they were doing. So when I called in, he was happy to jump on the show. Well, skip forward a couple of years. He's now at the Humane League, an organization that is doing all sorts of great things. They have an advocacy campaign for animals. They have some testing, a lab. They have a campaign going out to help chickens right now. So I'm just going to jump right in because we got a jam-packed half hour. Don't forget to hit the link at the bottom of this show if you're listening at ChrisTinney.com or on Facebook or any of the social media campaigns to make sure you click through to the Humane League, get their newsletter, find out how you can get involved. They have offices all over, and if they don't, I'm sure they'll find a way for you to help get one started. So John Kemp, thank you for joining us. You're the Vice President of Grassroots at the Humane League, correct?
That is correct. Thank you, Chris. It's an honor to be here.
Well, this is great. Well, so for those folks that have not heard of the Humane League, can you just share with us a little bit about who they are and what you guys do?
Yeah, thanks for asking. So we are an international farm animal protection organization, and we work to better the lives of farm animals through institutional campaigns where we get companies to ban some of the cruelest confinement practices. And we also work to create a personal change where we reach out to consumers to, you know, for them to make more humane food choices. And then a huge chunk of our work is also just mobilizing activists. You know, we want to grow the movement and turn these volunteers into leaders. So we've been around since 2005, and we've been growing pretty significantly over the last few years, and we've, Our rate of victories and the significance of the victories has been expanding pretty rapidly. So it's a good time to be a part of the Humane League, and it's a good time to be in the farm animal advocacy movement.
Yeah, I've had a lot of fun following the Humane League on Facebook and Instagram. You guys are real active on those, and I love all the stuff you guys have been posting.
Yeah, thank you. That's primarily due to John Oberg, who is a social media mastermind, and so we're really lucky to have him on board. And yeah, he joined the Humane League at the same time I did about 2 years ago, and he is significant. Our number of social media followers has expanded significantly thanks to John's work.
You know what? I'm going to make sure we put on our Instagram. I saw the picture of you. It said, "Look, Mom, they made a meme out of me." So I'm
that's
gonna,
right.
That's an incentive for people. When you go listen to the show, I'm going to post that. Mr. Producer, make sure I mark that down to put that up on the show page. So before we get into all the great things that the Humane League is doing, let's share with people a little bit about your journey to becoming vegan and what your experience has been.
Yes. So it was 1995. I was at a community college called the College of Lake County in Great Lake, Illinois, a suburb outside of Chicago. And I took an intro to ethics course. And my dad grew up on a small farm in rural Iowa. And when, you know, I was a kid and asked my dad about the treatment of farm animals, he told me that farm animals on at least his small farm led good lives. And for the most part, I'm guessing they did, but fast forward to 1995, I'm taking an intro to ethics course, And we talked about various ethical issues, and one day we talked about farm animals, and the professor of the class showed us some footage on a factory farms and gave us some arguments that I had a tough time rebutting. And so at that point, I realized that somebody who was concerned about doing the right thing and speaking up for the downtrodden, I should go at least vegetarian. I didn't really know much about veganism at the time. And so that day I went vegetarian, and then fast forward a few years later, I learned more about the conditions of egg-laying hens and dairy cows, and I went vegan. And then in 2000, I was a guitar teacher at the time, and I was starting to feel more of a sense of an urgency to spend my days doing something for farm animals. And so I decided to quit teaching guitar lessons, and I took an internship with Farm Sanctuary in Watkins Glen, New York. And I spent the summer doing that. And after that, I realized that I wanted to really devote my life to bettering the lives of farm animals. And I moved to the Washington, D.C. area, became a volunteer with groups like Compassion Over Killing and Vegan Outreach. And then in 2004, Jack Norris, who was the president of Vegan Outreach at the time, he told me that Vegan Outreach had the funds for their first grassroots coordinator, and asked if I would like to take the job. So I took the job, and I moved out to New Jersey, and then I spent about the next 10 years traveling around the country doing outreach on college campuses, and eventually moved to more of a managerial role. So I was managing some of the grassroots team. And then about 2 years ago, I decided to make the switch to the Humane League, and I have been the vice president of grassroots, which means I oversee our grassroots team at the Humane League.
Well, that's great, because I just wanted to establish a little bit of your street cred there, because that last show we did on vegan purity, you know, the purity test, where you and I were chatting about how everybody should just do what they can, you know, quit harassing people to where they don't want to be around to the vegan community because of how they're treated. And I think,
agreed.
So I'm going to put a link to that. I'm not going to jump into all that today, but I'm going to put a link next to that show. And for all of you that might complain, check out that street cred and then post.
I will say that I still hold true to that belief that we're going to win more people over to our side when we're nice to them. And when we don't nitpick every little decision they make, and when we have a big tent and welcome in that big tent anyone who wants to make a positive change for farm animals. You know, I think ultimately that's what's going to do the most good for farm animals, in my humble opinion.
Yeah, you know, I was out doing a demo with somebody on the streets, and somebody stated they were vegetarian. And man, I could not believe how they were treated. I was happy they were there holding a sign, and I we were winning them over and chatting for an hour because they were there all afternoon. And just like you said, people get additional information and then they make the next move.
Yeah. It's pretty remarkable that sometimes we want to limit our pool of activists, and you know, we're small enough. I mean, we're a growing movement, but we're small enough that we should welcome those who want to take part and create positive change.
All right, folks, I'm going to put a link to that show because it is a great show and you should check it out. But when we come back from this break, we're going to be talking about how you can actually get involved. I love shows like this. Direct action, things you can do today, not next week, not next month. When we come back, we're going to share with you a campaign they have to help chickens, where you should not be spending your money, and what you can do in communities around America with the Humane League. We're talking to John Camp. We'll be right back after this break. Welcome back, Renegade Nation. This is Up Close with John Camp of the Humane League, talking to us today about how we can get involved and help animals. Talked a little bit in the last segment about the purity test, one of our previous conversations on an earlier show we did. Gosh, it's probably been a year or two ago that we did that show. John, thank you for joining us today. We've got people listening from all over the world to the Up Close podcast. We were thrilled to have you on. I love shows like this, as I was mentioning before the break. I love shows where people can actually find out what they can do. They can get inspired, but they can actually get off their butt and go do something. And I was thrilled when you were telling me about the 88% campaign. So I'm just going to let you have the mic and tell everybody about this exciting program that they can get involved in no matter where they happen to be.
Yeah, thanks for asking. So our 88% campaign is a campaign that's aimed at bettering the lives of chickens raised for meat. So out of all the farm animals raised and killed for food in the U.S., 88% of them are chickens. And our campaign is working to impact them in three key ways. One is to have more of a slow growth phase for the birds to be grown at a, to have genetic, to be bred for slower growth, I should say. In 1925, the typical chicken was killed at about 112 days. Now they are much bigger and they're killed at 48 days. So they're just grown at such a rapid rate that their limbs and organs often can't keep up with that. We are working to add environmental enrichment, so they have some basic amenities such as, having windows for sunlight, straw bales, et cetera. And we're working to eliminate live shackle slaughter so that their last moments aren't as horrific. They're often killed while still fully conscious. And right now our campaign is working company by company to get them to adopt these progressive welfare standards. We've gotten companies like Chipotle and Aramark, Compass Group, Starbucks, Subway to adopt these better policies. And this week we actually had a really good week. We got Barnes & Noble, Jamba Juice. Yesterday was Campbell's Soup.
Wow, so, congratulations.
It's pretty big. Campbell's is known for chicken soup. And so it's a big deal to get them on board. And then just literally within the last hour, Carnival Corporation, which runs Carnival Cruises, also adopted these standards. So it's really heartening to see these companies making these changes. And what we are doing for my department, we're right now focusing, the grassroots is focusing on Darden, which runs Olive Garden and Capital Grille and Longhorn Steakhouse and a few other restaurant chains, and CKE, which runs Hardee's and Carl's Jr. And so the grassroots right now is focused on using our grassroots force to get these companies to change. And that means holding protests, doing leafleting outside of their establishments, having work parties where activists come together and send letters to leadership, et cetera.
So that's what
we're working on. And we've got, we would love for anyone to take part in this work.
So let me unpack that a little bit piece by piece, or going back to the beginning there. So when you say that they've adopted these standards, so they're actually buying their food from other people, or I should say their animal parts from other people. So does that mean that they're now demanding that their suppliers adopt these practices?
That's exactly what it means, is that their suppliers have adopted these, or that they've committed a policy. They've made a commitment that they will only purchase from suppliers who have adopted these progressive standards.
Well, that's pretty powerful, because I read a report a few months back about how so many places were going organic because Walmart was demanding it, that a lot of people were just doing it out of a pure business sense because they wouldn't have enough business if they didn't. If you get all of these organizations, Carnival and Starbucks and all these places that are demanding this process, some of these companies, that's the way they're going to do all their product. They're not going to just do it separate for this one customer.
Oh, yeah. That's the nice thing about these institutional changes, is that these companies make these policies, and then it means every consumer, everybody who purchases from there are at least getting products that come from policies that are significantly less cruel.
Right. So tell us, how can we get involved then? I that's what I really love about the Humane League, is that it's so easy for people, no matter where they are, to get involved. And this is an excellent, folks, if you know anything about me, you listen to my other shows, I love things where we can actually go take action, make some noise, let people hear what we're talking about. So I get really excited about campaigns like this. Maybe you can share with everybody what that looks like.
Yeah, thanks for asking. So right now we have 12 grassroots offices. They're from coast to coast. We've got them in Los Angeles, San Francisco, San Diego, Seattle, Chicago, Atlanta, Charlotte, DC, Philly, New York City, et cetera. And so we've got 12 grassroots offices. We would love for anyone to get involved with that. And that means we have a grassroots director. Oh, in DC too. And we have a grassroots director who runs these protests, who runs these events. We do some veg outreach in these cities too. And so any volunteer who wants to get involved, we would love for them to join up with us. And then even if you are not in a city where we have a grassroots office, say you're in Des Moines or, you know, Boise, Idaho, and you know, we don't have offices there, but we have a national volunteer program, which is we have two national volunteer coordinators who give any activist who wants to get involved the tools to take part in our work. And so anyone who would like to get involved, we have the means for you to get involved. And we adore our volunteers and are very attentive to them. And so anyone who wants to get involved, it's going to be a very positive experience. And we have tactics that really are working. So you know, I think some people can get disillusioned that they're taking part in something where, you know, at the end of their hour or 2 hours volunteering, they're thinking, where did this really result in any tangible change? And one nice thing about our campaigns is that a lot of these protests that individuals are coming out for, you know, we win these campaigns. And so it's nice for example, all the volunteers who took part in our subway campaign, you know, they came out for a protest, they wrote letters to the executives, and then we won that campaign. So we can connect their hour of volunteering with a victory that had tangible impacts for animals.
Wow, that's exciting. That's really great. So
yeah.
So explain to me, I'm sitting in Boise. Shout out to Boise. I love all my vegan friends in Boise. You guys need to get a chapter. Can't believe you don't have a chapter, Boise. If I'm sitting in Boise, yeah, get a hold of them, you guys. You go there. You got to represent. So I'm sitting in Boise. I go to the website, thehumaneleague.com. It's on .com right now, folks. It'll be on .org soon. But the Humane, not the Human League, different site, thehumaneleague.com. And you can see how to get involved, the newsletter, and some of these things. So what kinds of activities and actions might we be able to get involved in?
Yeah, so thanks for asking that. So some of the main things, let's say for the National Volunteer Program,
right,
somebody wants to get involved with that. So some things, we would provide the tools for protesting any of the companies that we're currently targeting. That means we'd hook you up with signs. We'd connect you with like-minded individuals in your city. We would give you the tools to run your own work party. We would give you the tools to do leafleting. We would give you tools to do outreach, veg outreach. So you know, like I said, leafleting. And then there's also an educational component, which is really nice, which is every other week we have these calls where it's run by our National Volunteer Coordinator, Rachel Black. And we have various experts on animal advocacy come on and talk. So you know, we want to make sure that we're giving individuals the opportunities to get involved in our work, but it's also we're also giving back to the individuals who you know, get for the animals, and we're training them in effective activism and connecting them with like-minded individuals. I think that sometimes individuals who want to get involved with activism can feel a little isolated, that you know, they really care about this, but they don't have any friends who do. And so one thing we try to do is make sure that we're connecting everyone who are near each other to get together and do something positive for animals. And then having these video calls with a bunch of different volunteers, we try to connect like-minded activists across the country and in many ways across the world.
You know, that's really important because, you know, community is so important. I do a lot of work with a nonprofit called Circles USA, where they work with families to help support them out of poverty. And I've seen some of the research coming out of the universities on how important it is to have a community of people around you that are like-minded with the same kinds of goals. So I don't want to underemphasize, you know, these people that might be in Boise, wait till you find out how many other people are in Boise. Can you tell I want a chapter in Boise? If you're there, you'd be surprised. You don't even know all the people.
I've done some leafleting in Boise, and it was Boise State University, and it was good leafleting.
Yeah, the river right there. So I get excited about that. And some of the best friends I have are people I met way back more than two decades ago outside of KFC while we were protesting. You know, people were actually getting out of their cars in the drive-thru and coming over to us. and you know,
oh, yeah,
asking questions. It was really worthwhile.
Yeah, there are a lot of people who are, you know, when you present this in a manner that welcomes people, there are a lot of people who come up and ask questions, and you know, that's part of our goal, is to continue to grow the movement and to be the types of activists who welcome new volunteers and welcome those who are curious in doing something to help farm animals.
All right, folks. Well, when we come back, I'm going to ask John to give us a letter grade on how we're doing in the movement so far since I last talked to him. Are we doing better? Are we doing worse? You're going to find out. You're going to find out how you, whatever the grade is, how you can help improve it and be part of helping animals with the Humane League. That's thehumaneleague.com. We'll be right back with Vice President John Camp of the Humane League right after this break. Welcome back, Renegade Nation. This is Up Close. I'm your host, Chris Tinney, and we're talking to the Vice President of Grassroots at the Humane League, John Camp. Welcome him back to our show for the second time, a different network. We're on the Renegade Talk Radio Network now. John, thanks for joining us today. What a great conversation. I love hearing about what's happening with the Humane League and how people can get involved all around the country. And I think we established in the last segment that by the next time I interview you, there will be a chapter in Boise.
I'll work on it. I'll try to pull some strings.
I have a friend who's a great vegan up there, Rio Love. If Rio Love, if that name alone doesn't attract everybody to a chapter, I don't know what will. So I'll talk to him. Well, I told everybody, so how would you, what, I ended the last break saying I was going to ask you to give us a letter grade in the movement. I mean, you've been involved in this for more than a decade, close to two decades, I guess, from what you were saying there. How do you think we're doing? I don't know if things are getting more extreme and we're just becoming more divided, like the politics in this country, or if we're actually winning people over, because I know vegan products are becoming real popular, but a lot of people are buying those, you know, I don't know if it's just hip or if it's really part of the movement. So how would you grade the movement today?
Yeah, that's a tough one to say. There's a lot to consider, but I don't, you know, maybe in many ways we're advancing at a rate that I wouldn't have seen imaginable back, you know, even 5 years ago. And then there are some areas that I think there's room for growth. So, you know, factoring in everything, I don't know, maybe I'd give us a B, but I certainly think there's a lot to be proud of. And for example, the corporate victories that we've had, the rate of victories, is like I said, at a pace that I wouldn't have imagined. It was just about 10 years ago that cage-free victories that we were celebrating were a dining hall at a college campus had gone cage-free. And now we've got every major food purchaser in the United States has agreed to a cage-free policy to get battery cages out of their supply chain. And we're talking about companies like Walmart and, you know, Safeway and McDonald's. And so, you know, in terms of real world changes, real world policy changes that impact animals, I think we are seeing policies that I wouldn't have imagined. I think that we as a movement are more strategic. We put a lot more emphasis on farm animal suffering because, you know, 99% out of all the animals raised and killed in the United States are farm animals. So I think it's very clear that over the last decade or so, we've put a lot more of our resources as a movement to make life better for farm animals. I know that when I first started leafleting about 14, 15 years ago, veganism was a foreign concept to many. And now I feel like when I'm out talking to people about this, seems like about most people I talk to have a friend or a significant other or a colleague who's vegan. And, you know, I think we take things like social psychology more seriously and research. And then another thing that gives me hope, too, is just this growing effective altruist movement, which is individuals who are concerned about making sure that their time spent advocating or their charity dollars go to organizations who impact the most animals. So we're seeing effective altruist groups popping up on college campuses throughout the United States, and elsewhere, lots of cities have effective altruist groups. So for me, there is a lot to be hopeful about. And sure, there are activist groups or tactics that I don't think are always the most wise, but you know, I also think there's a lot to be hopeful about, and I certainly have seen a rate of progress that I wouldn't have imagined, you know, just 5 years ago.
Well, that's exciting to hear. I'm really excited to hear that. You know, I always am reminded of that story of the starfish. The person's throwing the starfish in the ocean, and someone comes along and says, you know, you're not going to make it get to them all. And they said, well, to this one, it makes a difference. And I know that might become cliche to people, but what would you say to people that are wondering, you know, if I really go out and protest and demo and hand out leaflets, you know, am I really making a difference? How would you answer that?
Yeah, well, I would say absolutely. You know, let's say you're taking part in one of our corporate campaigns. I mean, we've won the overwhelming majority of the campaigns that we have waged, and the ones that we haven't yet we're going to win. So for that, and you know, just each time we get out, and I remember when I was out leafleting for Vegan Outreach that. After a long tour, say I was out for 2 or 3 months and I was leafleted all these different college campuses, I would then see our spreadsheet that we would get where it would say where all the vegetarian starter pack requests came in from. And it would be all these college campuses that I had leafleted. So, you know, I was seeing firsthand that, hey, I had been in this location and now there are individuals who are wanting more information about veganism. And you know, so our individual actions do matter. And, you know, there's always going to be suffering in the world, and there's nothing we can do to totally abolish it. But through our actions, we can pretty significantly reduce the total amount of suffering. And, you know, similar to what you're alluding to, for those animals who are impacted by this matters. You know, you think about some of the farm animals endure some of the, I would say, worst suffering imaginable, and to think that through our work we can play a role in policies that significantly reduce that, or we can create new vegetarians where you know we're looking at hundreds of animals impacted per each vegetarian or vegan's life. So you know, I think that through activism, are we going to reduce all suffering? No, but we're through activism, are we going to reduce, if we're putting our efforts towards effective practices, I think it's hard to refute that we're certainly going to impact a large number of animals. And, you know, unfortunately, with all this great suffering, it at least gives us a great opportunity to reduce a lot of it. And I think there's really no option but to try and to get involved with it. You know, I think I remember watching a Howard Zinn documentary a documentary about Howard Zinn, the historian who wrote A People's History of the United States. And he was saying that, you know, if we don't engage in this, in activism, there's 100% certainty that we're not going to create change. But, you know, if we do, there's at least a decent chance that we will. And I guess if we're really committed to creating change, I guess the only thing we can do is try, and then if we're going to try to take part in the forms of advocacy where it's more likely for success and more likely that we're going to make a tangible impact. So I think the short answer is that being involved in smart, pragmatic activism, it's a certainty that we're making a real significant change for animals.
Well, that's exciting. And John, I want to thank you for all your help with helping animals over the past 2 decades and your career with both Vegan Outreach and now the Humane League. I want to encourage everybody to go to thehumaneleague.com and find out about, if you're near a local chapter, if you are, jump in. If you're not, by all means, especially if you're in Boise, sign up and get some brochures and some placards and get your butt out on the streets. You're going to meet some great people and you're going to feel really good. And, you know, being vegan really isn't just a whole bunch of list of rules. It's really about waking up and being happy and knowing that you're part of making the world a better place, not worse off. So, John, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Chris. I enjoyed it. And congrats on being on iTunes and all these other outlets.
Thank you. I appreciate it. All right, guys.
Yeah.
That closes another episode of Up Close.
On the way to paperback was on my knee. Man, I had a dreadful flight.